Employers and health plans are getting crushed by rising healthcare costs driven by chronic conditions, fragmented care, and delays in getting help when it actually matters. Recuro Health is a virtual-first digital health company, and they're changing that. Their integrated platform brings virtual primary care, urgent care, and behavioral health together into one coordinated experience. So care is proactive, quality improves, and costs come down. That's Recuro Health. Smarter care delivered virtually. To learn more, stay tuned. Recuro is the sponsor of this episode of Healthcare Happy Hour.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
And I'm your host, David Saltzman, and we are pleased to have John O'Toole with us. John is the Chief Revenue Officer at Recuro Health. Good morning, John.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing perfectly wonderful. Although as we're recording this, we're all awaiting this giant ice and snowstorm that, you know, the forecast here in Tennessee is we could get someplace between 2 inches and 473 inches of snow topped by ice. So, nobody knows.
We got the Arctic freeze coming to Texas too.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be weird for a couple of days, but we'll survive. So let's start at the very beginning. Now, I know one of the things that for a long time software struggled with was the fact that user interfaces were really hard for people to use. And that's kind of morphed because consumers now are really looking for zero friction. They just want everything to be integrated, everything to work, kind of PhD, push here dummy software. Have you guys noticed that, and have you built for that?
Yeah, so that's the intention behind Recuro, honestly. And I think it's pretty important to go back to when telehealth really started 20 plus years ago. I think it's close to 25 years now. And it was started to improve access to care, but what happened quickly is that it became a commodity. It became checking a box for plans. It really didn't do anything about improving care or integrating, really solving the disruption of the fragmentation that we have here today. And what we have at Recuro is a intentionally built platform of integration. And I think that's going to be the word of the day for me or for the podcast here today, is that everything that we do is integrated care modeling or integrated partnerships so that we can give the best impact to care short-term and long-term.
So when legacy systems, and that's most of what's still out there, aren't coordinated, how does that impact costs?
Well, loaded question. So the impacting costs, especially on plan designs in healthcare, we understand that there's a lot of things that really impact high spend or impact on terms of renewal rates going up. There's a lot on the virtual side that really can improve a plan design, and that's through the coordination and that integration. So if you have an integration where we're able to understand populations, coordinate them into a virtual first model, not only are we helping them on the acute, which is what, telemedicine started 4 years ago, but we're also helping with ongoing treatment as well, when that might be mental health, that might be primary care in a virtual setting, allowing us to identify health concerns that, might have a long-term goal or wellness need that we can now then jointly coordinate care with the plan administrator, whomever it may be, and have a wellness program that is going to offer not only the plan, tangible, impact, but it's also going to have a significant value to that member or, employee utilizing the service.
It's not just that, there's an app and there are these three or four applications on it. That all integrates?
Correct. So thank you for pointing that out. So, Recuro's core services of virtual urgent care, that traditional telemedicine model, built really differently than historical models or platforms that have been built, that virtual behavioral health and that virtual primary care, having that primary care provider to be able to see the visits that you've had in an urgent care setting, understand that you are seeing a behavioral health counselor managing, maybe it could be prescription management that primary care physician is doing. It could be on the behavioral health side. It could be on a statin, those things, the scheduled drugs. They're able to understand what is going on from a virtual component, and then being able to take that data and do something with it with our partnerships.
Does that help employers get better data to work with as well?
Absolutely. Probably sound like a broken record to some employers and plan partners and sponsors is data's king. We can do a lot with data when you want to do something with data. If everyone just lets data call it data and you do nothing with it, there's no impact with it. When you have data and you have diagnostic codes, you have CPT codes, so it's claim data, it's not just to be reported on. It could be an enhanced tool to understand the care that needs to go on long-term and short-term for populations.
So given that it's a better experience for employees and that it gives employers more data, does this help brokers differentiate themselves as well? And what's that conversation with an employer like when you train somebody or you teach someone to talk about this?
Well, it's a partnership model, and I don't use that term loosely. I think a lot of people do. We're there to be an extension of your plan. So we do want to see that utilization. Utilization is another data point for us. So what we're able to do with that is identify gaps and opportunities to educate and inform and push out, we'll call it campaigns. If we're coming into the flu season, let's do a campaign on the flu season. Let's do a live webinar to educate and let them know what modalities there are to access care and how simple it could be and what all is covered. It's a dedicated team. You look at everyone focuses on tech and evolution or, what's next coming. Well, what about just doing the simple things that really drive engagement and success of a plan? And that's going to be someone that they can always talk to and understand and be able to drive something, real time without having to wait weeks at a time to get a resolution.
When you guys started putting together your solution, what was the key driver? Was it driven by the need to get better data and better patient outcomes over the long term?
Oh, there's a lot of things that we took in for consideration. One is that virtual care is historically a reactive function. We wanted to be a proactive function. So there's a lot of things to be proactive. There's the proactiveness in just serving the populations and having that person to talk to and making sure that we align with that partnership so that there is no gaps in care. There is no barriers to care. How do we alleviate more barriers? A lot of times, based on eligibility files, other things that cause more barriers to care, let's alleviate that. Okay. And let's get them care. People don't call Recuro to abuse the service. They're calling Recuro because they need care. And that's the first thing you identify is making sure we care for that member, that employer. And then it goes on to, the proactive model. Like if you looked at data points, and data points vary all over the depending on your source, but it can take up to 6 weeks to see a behavioral health counselor. Well, by that time, are we really adding value to that member? And, more than one third are accepted by insurance. So now we're cutting, the middleman out at some of these deals, and we're able to give that care and then a long-term journey. And then really diving into that proactive side, being able to do labs at home, being able to, talk to somebody in populations about, you just need to talk to a doctor. Don't just get up and just say, I'm going to be fine and I'm going to, do my WebMD search. Talk to a doctor. It might be, if our primary care doctors handle mental health, women's health, men's health, a lot of things that people just aren't traditionally used to, but why not just speak to a board certified, state licensed physician live? And then being able to have that provider talk about specialty needs and helping you understand what the next step in your care journey may be, that's what we're doing here. We're not trying to create just a point solution. We're trying to create, no, we're not trying. We are and have created a, I don't even want to call it a solution, a healthcare, a virtual care company that is driven and focused on overall impact to the member or employee, but also how that impacts the employer, the health plan, whomever is the long-term partner there.
Now, you have a pretty wide range of services, and different employers have different needs based on their populations and all the demographics that go with that, more male, more female, older, younger, all of those kinds of things. Can an advisor who works with you build kind of a bundle of what they think the employer needs most, or is it just kind of a you know, these are the services we provide and it's all in one?
Absolutely. You know, we have a large population that just use our urgent care services, and we build our partnership based on those urgent care services and how we want that member experience and flow to be. And we build that tailored to that specific partner. We can, you know, we can integrate behavioral health. We can integrate primary care. We can look at plan designs, how we look at utilization. Are we doing a $0 fully capitated model? Are we doing a claims model because we're working with an administrator? Those little things, what data points are we trying to accomplish here? What coordinated care are we trying to do? All of those things are those open-ended questions that we want to understand, because we want to be a partner. We want to make sure that we're creating care from A to Z. So it's really important to not just call in and say, yeah, I want, you know, if you look at us as a point solution, you can spreadsheet any virtual care company and look at us as point solutions and make your decision that way. If you really want to drive impact and drive overall relationship and success of a strategy, then you got to have these conversations.
Well, I mean, to that point, and I think it's really relevant right now, we're starting to see another kind of blurb of lawsuits against self-funded plans, for example, where perhaps the sponsors haven't done as good a job in due diligence as they have. They just find, okay, that's a solution, we'll plug it in here and we'll see if it works. And it seems to me that that's a selling point kind of for what you guys are doing, to say, we can integrate all of this stuff and we can give you data and we can build it the way you need it. That's a lot of due diligence. And I think that would be a nice thing for an advisor to take out to a client. Are you having those conversations?
We're having those conversations on a daily basis, because when you do talk to somebody, and we sell through multiple channels, and says, you know, tell me about your virtual care company, your telemedicine company. It's like, well, they're there, you know, and that's the common response. They're there. They're fine. That's not what you want to hear. You want to hear, no, we have a care company who is driving, you know, member satisfaction, you know, utilization. We understand exactly what's going on. There's communication. It's a bi-directional partnership. It's not just I'm on the back of an insurance card and you forget about it until you're at the ED, ER, urgent care facility. It's like, oh, I could have used, you know, this virtual care company. I'll stop there on that one.
So since this is different, I mean, it may look the same on the front end, right? There's an app, it's got all this cool stuff on it, it's easy to use. How do you and the advisor educate employees about how to use this and why it's a better solution for them, what they gain from using it?
I call it simple. It's a dedicated team. You know, this is you're going to talk to a live person. So our dedicated account management team, account success team, will get on and do a live webinar, do a live Q&A, answer the questions, tailor a marketing material that communicates specifically to an industry specific. Do those little things to drive that. Then you have ongoing communication plans. So weekly, monthly, quarterly. You know, we try to avoid the annual conversation that's like, well, here's your utilization, here's your annual utilization, and now we got to change your rate because you went above. Or it's a conversation. We want the members in the population, or our partners, to know utilization's trending up. That is a good thing. Like, let's keep it going. You know, long term, we might need to take a look at the plan design, but the impact that it's giving to the plan is a larger benefit than just a, you know, a short-term increase.
Do you have any metrics that you can share with us about kind of how this helps costs in the long run and in the short run for employers?
I mean, off the top of my head, we did a case study of a population of 60,000 lives. We had a plan design partner that we went live with. We saw just under 5-to-1 ROI, you know, that 60,000 lives, the cost savings. And I don't factor in, you know, the driving to an ED, but what we were able to do based on the data that we collect, and that's the diagnostic data I talk about, it was just under $5 million annually that was redirected into a virtual care setting. And we do that, and we can grab that data for any employer group. So if you're 150, 1,000, we do have that data, and it's shared on a monthly basis. It's also real time, which allows us to grab, you know, I want to see January to March, or I want to see January to March this year and January to March last year. And we can do a comparison, talk about, you know, what drivers did we do a campaign and take a look at, you know, what engagement, more engagement we had. Did we do it correctly? Do we need to, you know, go back to the drawing board? We do that. That's what our dedicated team is there to do. We want to make sure that people are seeing value out of Recuro, and we want utilization. That's what we were created for.
Well, so when an advisor wants to get at that data, do they have a dashboard that they can use, or do they have to come to your team and say, hey, I'd really like to look at X, Y, and Z. Can you run some stuff for me?
We do have a dashboard. We much preferred the conversation with the dedicated team member because they could pull it, you know, real time on a conversation. But it's also, you know, going on, like, what are we trying to accomplish? Are we just trying to look at the data? Are we trying to do a utilization campaign? So both are there. It's just more of, we like having that engagement piece to understand what, because sometimes there's a concern or sometimes there's a plan for that, because it's automated, goes to them monthly. So there's, when it's a request, we want to understand, you know, the purpose of the request so we can jointly work on, you know, a potential solution or just answer the request.
Yeah, I mean, the best advisors like to have their finger on that stuff all the time. And so it's good to know that they can do both, or maybe they should do both, especially when they think there might be an issue to work on. What kind of training do you do with advisors? Because for a lot of folks, this is new stuff.
It's a simple product training, going through the details, the value adds. We want the advisors, the plan designs, the strategists to know what everything comes with it. What not just common conditions, like what are our top conditions? Let's talk about it. Let's make sure that when somebody does ask, you know, that we can treat that. Like when you talk about urgent care, pediatrics is included for us at Recuro. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but, you know, that's from beginning to end in the life cycle. Now, that's always up to the physician's discretion on how they're going to treat on certain ages and what's going on in a member's life. But to my point earlier, if you have a newborn and you just don't know what to do, you can call a doctor and they might say, yeah, you need to go in person. Or they might say, you know, someone with kids, you need amoxicillin, right? Like it's that interaction that you're going to have. It's a physician. It's also use them as an advisor. That's what I try to tell. You know, we use dermatology is embedded into our urgent care setting. But having those conversations with those advisors, the plan design, so that people know, and we can tailor that communication and be like, oh, wow, there's more to this than just for the cold and flu and the sniffles and post-nasal drip. Like, no, yeah, there is more. It's a robust offering that allows a lot of care options.
Well, I think a lot of people are used to that kind of more rudimentary model that started out in telehealth. And yes. This is kind of an evolution, would you say, of that? I mean, it's much broader and much deeper.
It is absolutely an evolution. I mean, it's really understanding like what you can treat in a virtual setting. We have a chief medical officer, Dr. Sarawan, who, you know, still practices in person, and there's a lot that we know and still does. She still takes consultations virtually as well. So we're boots on the ground. We know, and we are continuously, you know, looking at what are treated. We're analyzing diagnostic data, you know, looking at a lot of things. We digitally record consultations so that our care is always top notch. We do a very proactive approach, not just on like care, but also making sure that we are providing the best care with the best providers available.
We've got just a minute or two left. Take a look in your crystal ball. What does this kind of look like in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years? How does it evolve?
How does it evolve? That's a great question. I think the popular answer is AI, you know, and utilizing AI. I'll be cautious on, you know, running, you know, full speed to AI for doing like treatment plans, you know, but using AI in terms of note taker and understanding like what those action items is absolutely in the future for us, you know. But I think it's going to be a lot of a lot more integrations, quite honestly. You know, we can do labs today. So an A1C and lipid panel goes to the member's house. It comes back. We can, you know, as technology advances, you know, with little drips of blood, we're going to be able to find out more information. We do pharmacogenomics or genomics so we can, you know, understand what's going on in the genomics of the member's life. So it's going to be a lot more of those, you know, integrations. You know, people talk about the remote patient monitoring tools. So there's always going to be, you know, that component as well. So there's going to be a lot. I'm always going to stick to that term integration. It's how we want to integrate or how our partner wants to integrate and be able to do that long-term care and treatment. You know, there's always going to be an in-person need, at least today, for treatment and specialty needs. But I go on, you know, being able to integrate data and have that conversation and have that continuity of care. Integration is going to be that first step to overall continuity of care, whether it's electronic medical record systems like Epic or whatever it may be. All of that will eventually need to come, you know, full circle for everybody.
Well, that's a great place to aspire to and a great place to drive to. John, if people want to learn more, what's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
You can easily contact me directly. We have a phone number. We have an info@rekirohealth.com. You can call, email me, john.o'toole@rekirohealth.com. We have a phone line. There's a form on our website as well. If you go to Rekiro Health, you can submit a request for someone to reach out, and that'll be somebody from the potential sales team or account management team, but a lot of ways to reach out to us.
Great. And that's, for those of you who are listening, that's John without an H. It's just JON.O'Toole, no apostrophe, @RekiroHealth.com. John, thank you so much for a fascinating conversation. We look forward to chatting with you more as these things evolve.
Yes, sir. Thanks, David. I really appreciate you having me.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nabip.org.